Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we have got a very, very special guest on. Now, why Kathleen is very, very special is because of the amazing life she has lived and what she has done to achieve the success in her life that she has done. I'm really looking forward to this interview. Now, I know it's about the Camino pilgrimage, and a very, very dear friend of mine went on it too. And I had never heard of it until she went on it. And I remember going up to visit her and she was telling me all about it and watching her face light up as she explained what was happening and what it was all about and how she discovered it and all the aspects of it. And there's lots of different aspects to it, I can assure you. It was just amazing. I got so much out of listening to her and watching her face light up that I don't even know whether I need to go on it. But I tell you what, it has got me really, really intrigued. And it's one of those things that I am going to put on my bucket list. Share, like, subscribe to the podcast. Got to do all that sort of stuff. But first of all, I want to bring in Kathleen because I'm really looking forward to hearing Kathleen's story. Welcome to the podcast, Kathleen.
Hi. It's good to be here.
Thank you. And it's very, very hot where you are at the moment. So Kathleen has got her fan on in the background because she can't open the windows because they're working outside. So that's okay. But I can't hear it. So if you can, when you're listening to the podcast, we do apologize, but, you know, we've got to be comfortable, for goodness sake. But Kathleen, before we go any further, you've got a huge background. You know, you have children, you've had college degrees, you've got all these things that are happening in your background. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and about what that all entails, how you got to where you are, basically?
Well, I was born here in San Diego, California, USA, and I've been here all my life. It's like living in paradise for me. So I went to college when I was a kid. My mom told me I owed her 2 years of college. So I went to college and then I graduated with a 2-year degree and then I went on to the university and then I got married after my first year at the university and I put it on hold while we had our children. And I know other people went to school and had children too, but I just couldn't figure out how to do that. So I did not. And when my daughter was a freshman in college, I went back and got my last year. So we were sort of at the university together. Of course, I was an art major and she was a engineering major. So I got my degree when I was like 39 years old, and it was graphic design. So my goodness, things changed. I graduated in 89, and the first graphics program was Illustrator 88. So I was like right there at the beginning, and that was pretty exciting to be there. And it was kind of interesting because the men weren't used to having women be techies. And so I got a lot of blank stares when I tried to join groups, graphic designer groups. They didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know how to talk to me. They were very uncomfortable. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would have been that, because you were right at the very beginning of it, aren't you? Like, as everything was changing. And I know how you feel, because I went back to uni and I got my degree when I turned 50, because I went in when I was 48 and I turned 50 by the time I got my degree. And my daughter was at uni too, but we were in two different ones. But yes, it is. It's like a whole different world. Okay, so you became a graphic designer?
Yes, I did that for a while. It wasn't really good for me. I told my mom I wanted to be a fashion designer, and she said, well, not too many people get to do that. Maybe you better think of something else. So I thought, well, if you want to make money in art, you need to be a graphic designer. So that's why I went into it. But I'm not a perfect person. And you know what? If it's not perfect, you better not print it. So it wasn't really good for me to do that. So I did it for like 10 years, and then I learned transformational breathing, and I became a transformational breathing facilitator, and that's been my career since then, except for, of course, I was busy with my husband.
Hang on a minute, Kathleen. Hang on. You've gone from digital work on the computer and all of that then to transformational breathing. Now, that's a completely different leap. You've got to give us a little bit more understanding of that. Why on earth have you chosen to do that from doing a digital career into, you know, transformational breathing? It's so completely different.
You know, I had kind of a rough childhood, and I had bronchitis and pneumonia every year, twice a year since I was like 4 years old. And my doctor took pity on me one year and sent me to a biofeedback class, and I learned breathing, and so I didn't ever get sick again after that. So that made me think, wow, this is powerful stuff. And then I was a graphic designer, and I was in a networking group, and there was a lady there talking about transformational breathing. So I was like, me, you know, and so that's why I learned it, because I knew how powerful it was. And graphics wasn't really good for me. You know what I mean? I'm not a type A personality. I'm not, you know, not me.
Yeah. Yeah. So because you weren't happy in that space, it was, you know, seeing something else was more conducive to where you wanted to go, and that's why you took on that transformational breathing. That sounds really good too. And I've seen the biofeedbacks. It's really amazing when you start to watch how you can control it in such a
breathing,
simple way, but so deep. Yes,
breathing
absolutely.
Really controlled it.
So you went and done, and did you leave your digital marketing or digital work, or did you stay with that and start to increase that more holistic side?
I just needed to turn my back on graphic design. I live in San Diego, and it's a really beautiful place, and the thing is, the jobs don't pay very well in San Diego, because you don't have to pay people a lot to get them to live here. People live here because they want to live here, and yes. And they'll just accept any sort of job. So the jobs didn't pay very well. And so I was trying to do it on my own, but on my own, it was not good, because I'm not, you know, like, I'm better now than I was then. I was sort of under the influence back then of just kind of an altered consciousness from post-traumatic stress disorder. So, you know, it was difficult to have my brains about me at that time.
Yeah. And of course you're aware of that. So you've looked at it something different. So you've gone along and done that. You've graduated, you've got a job, you're not really happy with that. And I know that you've looked after your husband, because he was sick, he had Parkinson's disease. When did that all start to come through? Is that about the same time, or?
Yeah, 1999 was when I did the transformational breathing. And actually, my husband became a facilitator also, and our 16-year-old son did also. So we kind of did it as a family. And then that was in 1999. 2001 was when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And so, you know, we were just so innocent, and I did not want to know what the worst case scenario was going to be later on. You know, I just kind of wanted to make it go away, not get into it. And my husband wanted to embrace his disease. I wanted to find him some cures. There's some guy in Australia, and I sent him $50 and he sent me the cure, you know, but Ron wouldn't do it because he wanted me to accept him the way he was. He didn't like me saying, hey, let's fix this thing and get on with our life. So that's what we did. I just started taking care of him. And he was good for a while. I mean, it was 2001. 2010 was when he became totally disabled. And so after 2001, 2010, then till 2018, I had to be here in the house taking care of him. You can't leave somebody if they can't walk, you know. And yeah. So that's what I did. I took care of him. And we were married 48 years by the time he died. We were a team couple for Marriage Encounter in the 70s, you know. We were a couple.
Yeah. And it sounds like a dynamic couple too.
Yeah, I have on our tombstone, I mean, I won't call it his because it's got my name on it too. It says a sign of God's love in the world. And then it's got Ronald Israel and Kathleen Israel on it.
Right. Oh, so you've got your name on there already.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. And I want my kids to know where my ashes go. I don't want to be sprinkled. I'm like, they go there.
Yeah. I've got my spot. It's already paid for. Let's just put it there, okay?
Yeah, that's it.
And sometimes people need that too, don't they? They need a space to go to you know, connect and talk and just have that time together. So that's thinking, definitely thinking forward. So, yeah, that's really amazing. So I want to get back now to so you've lost your husband. No, hang on. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to go back a bit. When you were looking after your husband, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my little notes here. When you were looking after your husband, isn't that when you started doing some other training too, other courses?
So while he was ill, I had to be home. So I studied online with a lot of enlightened thought leaders. I was trying to cure myself from my post-traumatic stress disorder. I thought, well, I got to be here. I might as well cure me too, you know. And I guess Ron didn't want to be cured. So I guess I was curing myself. So,
yes.
And I studied. I mean, I would like find out, God would like send me a healer. And I would buy their program and do, you know, like sometimes they were sleep tapes, sometimes they were just different things that you would do. And I would do their program faithfully. And then when it got kind of boring, then I thought, and then God would send me a new teacher and I would do their program. And so just over like 8 years, I really worked with a lot of enlightened thought leaders, and I developed some philosophies of my own, just synthesizing all that information. And so I wanted to write a book about it. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to sound all teachy. I'm not comfortable with that. So I remembered that when I went on the Camino, I told people about all those things. And so I wrote my book about walking the Camino and telling people all those things.
Ah, okay. So while your husband was, while you were caring for him, was when you were starting to get some more understanding, you're starting to get some more knowledge and gathering information and theory from other thought leaders. And, yeah. And because of that, then you can start to put it together in your way, in a way that resonates well with you. That's right. I think that's what you all need to do. Unfortunately, too many people follow one sort of thought leader instead of getting understandings from different ones and then putting it together in your own way, which makes it uniquely yours to start with, but it also resonates and makes sense to you.
And yeah, you do. I mean, it was like I was trying to raise my vibration. Yes. I had a really low vibration, attracting in all kinds of terrible stuff into my life. And I wanted to raise my vibration. And each of these teachers raised my vibration up this much. And then that's why they started getting boring, because I raised my vibration up to where they were. And then God would send me another one. And then I would raise my vibration up that high. And then God would send me another one. So that it was like that. Really powerful stuff.
Yes. Amazing. And I love how you've said that too, because I can remember reading a few books and I'd go, oh, I've already read all this before. You know, I already know this. And I sort of thought to myself, oh, you're just being, you know, smart. There's always things you can learn. But I'd go through the book and I thought, no, I'm not getting what I thought I needed to get out of that. And that's when I started to go, well, hang on, if they aren't resonating with me, if there's something there that's not resonating with me, that means that it's not resonating with me. Now, I could already know it, or I might not be ready to know it.
And there that's you when go. I
went, yeah. Yeah. And that's when I went, okay, if they're not resonating with me, fine, I'll put it aside. I'll look at it again another time and see. But you did yours through thought leaders that way, through online courses. I did most of mine through books, because when I did mine, there was no such thing as the internet at that stage.
Well, there you go.
So, definitely. Mine was quite some time ago. But, yes, and I would do that. I would have a book and I would take out of it what I needed. You needed to read the whole book majority of times, but you would go, okay, well, that's not sitting right with me. And then I go, oh, I like that. I like that. That resonates with me. And because we are all different, that's what I love about the podcast, because I bring on different guests and they can resonate with so many different people. Right. So that's really, really cool. So you've been... At this stage in your life, you have been caring for your husband, looking after him. He's not doing so well. You're healing yourself. So you've started to take on these other courses and taking out what suits you and what doesn't. And when they stop resonating, what you're doing is being open to accept another teacher. You know, and as they say, that when the student's ready, the teacher will show. And that's what you were doing. So I really love that. So then you lose your husband. So that all comes about. What's happening in your life then? What's this big aha moment happening?
Well, while I was caring for him, my girlfriend, Judy, went on the Camino Santiago. I called her and asked her, what year was that you did that? And she said 2013. So I was... you know, in the midst of taking care of Ron, and she went on the Camino. And even though she walked with, she got blisters and she was walking with bloody feet and, you know, it was pretty terrible, but I just recognized she was doing something very special for herself by doing that. And it was very special. And I thought at that time, I thought, you know what, when Ron's done with his disease, I'm going to go do the Camino. And so that's when I started thinking about it. And then when he died, in the end, he just couldn't swallow anymore. And so we did hospice. He was gone in a week. you know, it was like, boom. And I took care of stuff. I had to take care of the funeral, the grave, the insurance, the bank, the trust, all this stuff I had to take care of. And by January, I was able to start preparing for the Camino. And I read books. I went to a lecture at the library about packing light. And there was just so many, like God was sending me all this stuff too. And
all the little ducks line up, don't they? When you know it's where you're meant to be, everything sort of lines up. But we were talking earlier before I started recording, and you said, oh gosh, I've lost where my thoughts were going. You said to me, that's right, you said to me that you had to look at a new future because the future that you had with your husband was no longer acceptable.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't going to happen. Can you just walk us through that? Because I'd like to share my story on that, but I would love to hear your story on that.
I thought we would be riding our bicycles across France. I thought he was a jock, for gosh sakes. He did triathlons, and we ran the Honolulu Marathon together. And of course, he was fast and I was slow. But anyway, I was a finisher. Thank you very much. And he qualified for Boston, and I was just a finisher. I think he was 3 hours, and I was 5 hours, five and a half. Anyway.
Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, I did it. And I just needed to have something to look forward to. And I think God was telling me that. God was telling me that. That's why he let me see Judy, you know, and what she had done. And I'm going to read this to you. I had, right after Ron died, I went to a spiritualist church, and they can actually talk to the dead. And I want to read you my reading that they gave me. She said, Kathleen, you have had this urge to explore the old country, to reach for that feeling, to reach for that soil, to reach for that connection that goes back further than you've thought so far. It goes back so deep that it goes back in the blood, really far. And this is really strong, a really strong, deep, earthy kind of feeling. And this energy is moving through you now. And
wow.
She didn't even know I was thinking of going on the Camino. But after I told her that, she was like, okay, so now I know what I was talking about.
Yes. Because when you're doing readings, you have no idea majority of times what you're talking about. You're just getting these information coming through. But so you had this aha moment there. So you really, the ducks were really lining up for you. Amazing.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize, that was so spiritual. I didn't realize it was in my spirit. I thought I had just thought it up, but it was in my spirit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where I was talking about, sharing my story and why I brought that forward about the future, about, having goals and things like that, I remember my relationship, my marriage broke down. I had a 20-year marriage. It was an abusive marriage, unfortunately, but it didn't last. And I can remember really grieving the loss of my future because, like yours, in my head, I had anticipated that we were going to grow old together. We were going to have grandchildren together. And, I pictured sitting in a rocking chair playing with the grandkids, not that I ever sit in the rocking chair and play with my grandchildren now because I don't have a rocking chair. But, these are the little thoughts that we had. And that was one of the things I really remember grieving when the relationship broke down was the fact that there was that future wasn't there. I had to reconnect and find a new future for me. And I really resonated with you when you said about having to look at what you could do going forward, where your future was going, and especially when you knew and you were thinking about it earlier because you knew Ron's future, you knew where his was heading, and that was his choice. I could hear that. I can hear that in your voice that it wasn't your choice. But you had to then start to look for something else that was your future. And that was really, really poignant. That was really, really touching. And that's one of the things that we can go through these sort of situations and we can forget to actually create a future for ourselves, a goal, anything, just something that it's what we look forward to. And I guess why I'm saying that now is by the time this video comes out, I would have just got back from the UK mm-hmm. with my father, who's 92. So I'm doing a four week tour of the UK with my dad. So yes, I can see what you mean. And when he said I want to go back to the UK, and he goes, I don't think I'm going to have, you know, much more opportunity. I need to do it now. As soon as he said that, I resonated with you and with how I feel. It was like, yep, Dad, I'll come with you. I'll support you and take you over there. I wanted to go anyway. But the other aspect is that I could see he still needed a future. Now, he's been caring for Mum for probably the last, forever. But, you know, she's got Alzheimer's, and he's been her full-time carer for the last five years. And the last two, he can't really leave the house, like you, like your situation. Right. So when he said he wanted to do a trip to the UK, I put my hand up, went, fine, I'm going to be that with you, because I think that's really important. So that's sort of where I was going with that, and I understand that creating these beautiful futures. But now I want to get into the nitty-gritty of the tour, the trip, and how it came, because I really think when people start to get an understanding and hear this, they're going to want to connect too. So let's start from the start. You were aware of it from your friend, which exactly the same as me. I'm aware of it from my friend. I'll give her a shout out. Hey, Glenda. So now what did you do? So you've done a call, or you did a thing on how to pack lightly. You did a bit of a thing on that. How did you step forward and start to go and get this happening?
Yeah, I just went online and I checked out all the airfares. I was a little bit timid to get my airfares. So I checked it out and I was like, oh, okay. Finding out how to get the cheap airfares to Europe from California. You have to go all the way over across the US and across the pond. And I bought like four packs before I found the right one. And I just bought them at REI and I kept bringing them back if they made me sweaty or if they just didn't feel good. And finally I found one that kind of holds the pack away from your body. It's got this web on the back and it holds it away from you and you don't get sweaty. And that was really great. And then they said to get 32 to 40 liter pack. So I got a 36 liter pack and then I just, tried to be really smart about what I took. And I had longer hair and I cut my hair because I wanted to just take a little tiny comb with me. And I took one bar of soap that I used for washing my body, washing my clothes, washing my teeth, washing my hair. I just one bar of soap. And then I got clothing that was sun protection clothing. I didn't want to wear sunscreen all the time, so I got all my clothes were long sleeve. Although April in Spain is a little cool, so that was good for that too. Some people wear short sleeve shirts, and I'm like, no, I can't do that. I have to cover up a bit. So, I bought all the things I needed. And
all right. So you're saying it's a trek to start with, because people won't even know that I know it's a trek, but it's a long distance. And I know that there's different timeframes that you can do as the pilgrimage. You can do so many days or different things like that. Can you walk us through that? Because you start in one place. Kathleen? First of all, tell us why this is happening. What is the kimono, the Camino? Camino pilgrimage, sorry.
Yeah, right after this guy, his name is James. He was an apostle of Jesus. He went over to the Iberian Peninsula and tried to promote Jesus, over there. He wasn't very successful. So he went back to Jerusalem and they martyred him, for gosh sakes. And the story goes that the angels brought him back to Spain, but I mean, I'm thinking people brought him back and the angels helped him or something. I don't really know.
Yeah.
So they buried him in Spain. And then in the 1200s, they were trying to get the Moors out of Spain. And so St. James appeared and helped them get, you know, with the battle to get the Moors out of Spain. And after that, everybody liked St. James and they found his grave and everybody's like started making pilgrimages to St. James. And there's many routes. The one I went, the first route I went was from Saint Jean Pied de Port in France. And you go over the Pyrenees and then you walk to Santiago. And like last year, I went and did the Portuguese one. So I started in Lisbon and walked up to Santiago.
How long do they take?
I'm an old lady. So, I mean, most people are like 35 to 45 days. And I've heard people do the Portuguese Camino from Porto in 2 weeks. But I'm an old lady and I don't walk fast. And plus I got a problem with one of my feet. So I was doing Tai Chi walking really takes a little bit of time. And I was on the Camino for 66 days the first time. And
wow, 66 days.
Yeah. Oh. But I took Holy Week off. I stayed in a town and I became one of the church ladies. That was really cool. And then, I had some sick days. I got sick a couple of times, but having read so many books about it, people do get sick. And I thought, well, I'm giving myself time to get sick too. And then I started walking and I was like on this holy pilgrimage. And on Sunday when I would get in, I would be so tired. I would just flop down and take a nap and then I wouldn't go to Mass on Sunday. So I was like, you know, I'm on this holy pilgrimage. I should at least go to Mass on Sunday. And so that's when I started taking a day off. I took a day off. If you take a day off, you have to go to a hotel because the albergues, they don't want you to stay longer. So on Saturday night, I would go into a town. I'd stay at a hotel and go to church the next day and then stay and be a tourist that day and then leave Monday. So that built some time into my Camino also. So that's why it took 66 days. But by the end of I was sick towards the end of the Camino. And this doctor told me he wanted me to stay for 4 days. And I'm like, no, I've had too many sick days already. I'm going. So I wanted to carry my pack the whole way, but when I was sick, I had to have it transported for me. So that's what I did. Yeah. It's like 3 to 5 euros and they'll transport it to the next place for you.
Oh, and okay. So you can walk without your pack.
That's right. So I bought a little tiny pack and just put my water in it and stuff, you know, for the day and let them transport my pack when I was sick.
So where do you stay? Like there was times there when you obviously stayed in a motel.
They have albergues. They call them albergues. And they're a giant room full of bunk beds. Oh. And yeah. And you go in there and claim yourself a bunk. They're usually like 5 to 10 euros. No, 5 to 12 euros. So they're not very expensive. And then sometimes they provide dinner or breakfast. And every time they provided a meal, I bought it. You know, a lot of times they have a kitchen. And so you can buy your food in the town and cook your own food. And sometimes they make dinner for you. And then I just paid for it and let them do that for me.
Yeah. Wow.
But the problem with the albergues is the snoring. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I got these really great earplugs. They sent them all the way from Germany. They said they were the best ones in the world and they did not work at all. And so I was just like, oh man, that's one of the reasons why I got sick one of the times, because I hadn't slept in 5 nights. And then I met this person who was ill, and I was right there, you know, with my lowered immunity to get my, you know, the illness. So,
Wow. Okay. So, so that's a bit more of a structure around it and why they do this pilgrimage. And so obviously there's places you can stay, or you can choose other things that you can start from many different locations. So they've got to get it. You've really got to go and research it to find what suits you and determine the length that you want to do it. So you're on this pilgrimage. What is so special about walking along this particular path or journey to where you want to go?
Yeah, just about 1/3 of the people are there for a spiritual experience, and I was. I mean, I'm Catholic, and it's a, you know, it's a Catholic thing, but like 2/3 of the people, no. They're just there because it's a great thing to do. Maybe they need to, like you said, get away from their situation. A lot of people have a problem and they need to get away from their life so they can think. And when you're walking for 500 miles, you got plenty of time to think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And and God speaks to us through each other on the Camino. It was great to meet the people I met and to have them interested. I mean, I had all these teachings and wisdom coming out my ears from, you know, years of studying, and people would have maybe tell me about their problem, and I would just, you know, just say, well, I know what to do about that, you know. And so one of the things that I was able to share with people is the Ho'oponopono. And that was really powerful me and really instrumental in my healing, my personal healing.
Oh, okay. So before I want to ask you about the Ho'oponopono. Before I ask you about that, what really surprised me then in what you said, that was there was only 1/3 that were doing it as a spiritual journey, and 2/3 were doing it for other reasons. And I mean, it might be spiritual, but not necessarily for the religion,
right,
the Catholic, right, or anything else. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I find really interesting, because it's a structured and a controlled environment for people, which is really, it's an almost safe environment, but they don't have to necessarily be following any religion. They can just go there and create this faith, right, this connect with God and connect with who they want to connect with. So that's really lovely.
And the art too, yeah. You know, there's so much beautiful art along the Camino. You know, if you love art, it's just like so steeped in you know, medieval art over there.
Whoa, that would interest me too. That sounds lovely.
Like, oh my gosh.
Did you bring back some ideas with you for your art?
Actually at the end of the Camino, I actually gave myself 3 months, not just 2 months. And at the end of the Camino, I went to Edinburgh and took a class in icon painting. And I had been doing some icon painting for a while, and when I started trying to find out how I could learn how to do that, one of the schools that came forward from Google was the one in Edinburgh. So I went there, and it was just so great to have been on that holy journey and then to go and do that, you know, afterwards in Edinburgh. I don't know. It just seems to me like when I do art, it usually is I take a class and do art. So I kind of maybe need some structure. I think it would be really good for me to do art. And I think about, you know, maybe painting pictures of my grandchildren or something. I mean, I have a degree in art, so I mean, I know how to do stuff. but anyway, that may be in my future to do that.
Okay, yeah, because that's why I picked up the art, because you said you've had a degree in it, and I thought, oh, maybe that's what you you know, and you did the digital stuff. All right, so what is this Ho'opo'o? You say it.
Ho'oponopono. Ho'o. And then ponopono.
Ho'oponopono.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a right. Hawaiian healing technique for the family. And you can do it with your family, or you can just do it by yourself. You don't have to be with your family. You can do it with people that are dead already. You can do it with people that you can't talk to. It's a clearing. It clears you. And so one thing is that with other people, there's other people in our life that we have kind of a bind with. We're bound to them. And in that binding, they make us crazy. You know, they're bound to us to make us crazy, to ruin our life or whatever they're doing, you know, and they're just doing what they do. They're not really, you know, anyway. So it looses those binds that we have with those people that are there ruining our life or whatever they're doing, you know. So what it is there's a short version. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And that's the short version.
Yeah.
But really, if you do that, I don't think you get it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit longer version. I love you is the big I love you, I call it. I love God. God loves me. God loves that other person. The other person loves God. And if you can say it, I love them. But if you can't say it, you really shouldn't say it. Yeah. Okay, I love you. I'm sorry. And it's not I'm sorry I did anything, but I'm sorry this situation exists between us.
Yes,
there's something going on here, and I'm sorry that it's happening.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Please forgive me for what's going on in me that caused me to attract this. That I've got buttons here that are being pushed, and I'm feeling the pain. There's something going on in me that caused me to attract that. Maybe my low vibration went out and attracted some low vibrational stuff from that other person, or, you know, something like that. So please forgive me for what's going on in me that caused me to attract that. And then you say, thank you for showing me this. Thank you for showing me this so I could heal. Because if I didn't have this pain, if I didn't see this problem, I wouldn't be able to heal from it.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then the big I love you, I love God, God loves me, God loves them, they love God. And maybe by that time you can say I love them too. so it was very instrumental in clearing me. It was one of the charisms that I learned that was so powerful for me. One night I was on vacation with Ron before he was really bad, when I was in my 50s. And so we went to bed at night, and I was just laying there with my monkey mind telling me all the things that ever went wrong in my life, you know. And so I was like, so I thought, well, I'll do the Ho'oponopono. And I was doing that, and I was feeling shame. And I was like, well, I'm doing it wrong. Because Ho'oponopono isn't about shame at all. It's not that. It's like totally not about shame.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of analyzing it. And so I was trying it again, and I said, you know, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then I said, I forgive me. And I said, I forgive it up. And when I said, I forgive it up, I felt this giant refrigerator size pain come out of my heart and go up to God. And I was like, whoa, that was powerful. And then I finished the prayer. And when I said, thank you for showing me this so I could heal, it felt like I was being washed. Like it washed me.
Like cleansed.
And so you know, and then I was laying there and my monkey mind brought some more stuff forward that I, you know, that was awful in my life. And so I just kept doing that. I called it my expanded Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing that all night long. I did not sleep that night at all. And wow. So then the next day I should have been tired, but I was just relieved, you know. And I've been thinking stuff all my life, because I mean, my life was terrible. I had terrible stuff happen to me. And so I needed to do the Ho'oponopono like a soaking prayer, like every day for years. And that's what I did. And I used to have like people didn't like me. And you can tell when people don't like you. And that was awful. And so after doing the Ho'oponopono for a long time, I got rid of a lot of hangers on, because if you're sending out low vibrations, they're like free floating spirits out there and they'll be attracted to you. Yeah, so, I mean, absolutely. I attract all these sad spirits and they were like huddling around me for my whole life. And no wonder nobody, you know, people didn't like me. Their spirit like saw me coming and was like, whoa, get me out of here. And So anyway, I met a woman that I had met a long time ago and hadn't seen her in a long time. And she came up to me and she said, Kathleen, you got rid of your hangers on. You know, you don't have all those spirits around you anymore. I'm so happy for you. And that just, because I don't see spirits, but she obviously did. Yes. And so she could tell. And I was like, yes. Yeah, so I've been attracting a lot more nice stuff in my life since then.
Good. You deserve the nice stuff. Well done.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Look, we're getting a little bit low on time, but I just wanted to let people know about your book, because the book is called Wisdom on the Kimono, A Spiritual Journey Sharing Forgiveness and Possibilities to Inspire the Rest of Your Life. Hang on a minute. I'm going to put you on full screen so you can see the picture of it. There it is there. And is that you on the front cover?
Yeah, the book cover design. I'm trying to put this in the right way. Yeah, book cover designer, wasn't he amazing? He like made this picture of me. This was on the first day on the Camino. This picture was taken, but he put another picture inside of me, walking towards you. So I'm kind of leaning away from you, but I'm walking towards you in the inside one. Wasn't he amazing?
Lovely.
Yeah.
So you can get that book on your website, which is Wisdom. onthecamino.com
You can get it on, like, if you go to my website, it'll send you to Amazon to get it. But you can go on Amazon and just put in Wisdom on the, and then you put the C and all of a sudden it comes up, Wisdom on the Camino by Kathleen Donnelly Israel. And my free gift to everybody is the pictures. I made a portfolio on my website of the pictures. So you can, you go, in the beginning of the book, there's a page, not the first page, but towards the beginning of the book, there's a page that says, read this first. And it tells you to go and opt in to see the pictures. And then they're set up in chapters. So you can see, you know, when you read the chapter one, you can see the chapter one pictures.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because my book, I have intuitive flowers, Empowering Your Emotional Goals, but mine's got colored photos in it, so it makes my book really expensive.
That's what I thought. The pictures, it would have been $50 if I had put the pictures in there.
Yeah, but I need to have colored pictures, because it's a training book type thing. It tells you how to read flowers. So it's like going to have colors. But anyway,
you have to have it.
Wisdom on the Kimono. I keep saying the Kimono. And I'm thinking of a dragon. The Kimono. Yeah. Wisdom on the Kimono.com is the website. So make sure you have a look at that one. But Kathleen, we have to close it up there. I'm running out of time. Can you stay online? Because I need to chat with you after this. But any last quick word, it has to be quick. Any last quick words you'd like to say?
You know, if you want to do the Camino, you can do it. I was 69 years old when I did my Camino, the first one. I was 72 when I did the second one. And I'm going to do one next year, too, when I'm 73, maybe. Anyway, and if you can't do it, just read my book and you'll get the experience of having gone on the Camino through my words.
Lovely. Oh, that's really cool. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Okay, just hold on there for a minute. That was amazing. And the way that Kathleen was saying it was so much like how Glenda was saying it, and the aha moments you get, the feeling that you get, because everybody's doing it. Like, you meet so many of these beautiful people that are all on there for a reason, and they've all got their own journey and they've all got their own understanding of it. So it's a beautiful thing. It's definitely on my bucket list. I'm definitely going to be doing that. I'll get Dad over to the UK first, and then I'll look at doing another thing like that. But as far as the podcast goes, please like, share, or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any of these. And I have got online courses if you want to learn how to develop your intuition. They are on my website, intuitivenature.com.au. So that's it for this week. We'll catch up with you next week, and enjoy the Camino. Okay, bye.